It's Monday, March 19th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 751, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a fourth generation hosting account by using promo code CES2. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, if it's tech, is here. Hey, everybody, we got a great show lined up for you tonight, and going to start it out. We're going to rock it here. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana and longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here and being a part of the family. Well, I want to make sure you check out Geek News Central over at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can get subscribed to the show on the website, sign up for the newsletter. That way, you'll never miss a single episode. If you're catching us post-show, you can watch us on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, and a variety of other devices. Basically, if it's on a device, if you have a device, you can watch the show. That's what it boils down, or listen as well. You can contact me real easily, and you can do that by reaching us out on our calling our show hotline at 619-342-7365. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, you can follow me right here at geeknewscentral.com with all the contact information on the website. Everybody, how are you doing? How's everything going? Back off a long weekend. And it didn't seem like it was a very long weekend. It seemed like it was a very short one. I was a media creating fool this weekend. We created did a Saturday morning tech show. Really had a good, it was Rob Greenlee and Paul Throughout from Wind Supersite. I did a roundtable with Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine.com, where we covered video lower thirds and talked about new media resources. I did a Chrome show. Yes, if you're falling out of your seat, there's a Chrome show that was created. Episode number 7 over at ChromeShow.com. And of course, knocked out a PowerPress podcast over at PowerPressPodcast.com, introducing PowerPress version 3.0. So it was really a media creating junkie this weekend. And what was kind of weird was everything's been running smooth in the studio. We've had no issues with any gear, knock on wood. The TriCaster's been running fine. And so Sunday afternoon, before I did the Chrome show and before I did the PowerPress podcast, I thought, well, it's a good time. Let's go ahead. And there was an upgrade for the TriCaster out. So I went and pulled the upgrade, and it took, you know, maybe 30 minutes to install. Got everything up. Everything looked good. Tested a couple of streams. Everything was good. So, okay, let's record these other two shows. And what I do is I use my Mac Pro for capture. I've got a Blackmagic Design H.264 capture. It just makes it easier for the process. The TriCaster does its own master recording, a real super high def version. But it just seems by the time I pull that over and do the extra stuff, it's just as good a product by saving myself a little time by using that H.264. And the day before, it had asked to be updated and said it couldn't. And when I went to load it, it basically said, hey, you're something's wrong. So I spent about an hour troubleshooting that. Turns out there's been several updates of the software. And lo and behold, there was no auto update to it. So I got that updated. It was all good and got those knocked out. And everything is hopefully back stable. So we're up on a new build of the TriCaster. And I noticed my white levels are a little different. So I'm going to have to tweak and peek those over the next a couple of shows. But other than that, we're good to go. And got a lot of other things to share with you here. We'll get into that here in just a moment. But one of the main things I want to share with you right off the start here is talk about one of our sponsors. And of course, if you're looking to save money, and really this is a great, great deal, we're going to be able to save you a lot of money over at GoDaddy.com. And we've got a special promotion going on. And matter of fact, this is going to be a long-term promotion. We want you to share it. It really helps the teams out here at Geek News Central. Of course, some of the teams that we worked with for our CES 2012 coverage. But it's our 25% off on web hosting plans, 12 or more months. So if you have a sign up for a one-year shared hosting account over there with their 4GH hosting, and you sign up for a one-year plan and use the promo code CES2, that really helps us out, and we greatly appreciate it. Now, here's a great thing right now. So I want to show you something on their webpage. It's $8.49 right now is the cost of a unlimited account. So that's $8.49 a month. So if you have $8.49 and you add an additional, or you take off an additional 25%, let me actually do the math here. So $8.49 times 0.25, you can take another $2.12 off. So that is $6 and essentially 37 cents. Okay, so 6.37 times 12 months is $76 for a one-year hosting account. So here's what you get with this. Now just listen up. This is important. Unlimited websites. Okay, I said sites. Unlimited bandwidth. Unlimited storage. A thousand email accounts, and you don't need more than really a couple, honestly. Unlimited MySQL databases up to a gig in size each. And my even Geek News Central's database is not as big as a gig. And we've got 10,000 articles on the website. That's a huge, huge savings, okay? So get over there to GoDaddy.com, check it out. If you sign up for multiple years, you save even bigger. And that's the important thing here, okay? So use that special offer. We definitely appreciate you when you do. And really, when you come back over to Geek News Central, go over and check out all our plans and all our deals that we've got going on. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy has all of the codes that are available. And we have a pile of them, just an absolute pile, along with March specials. So we've got a $7.99.co.co domain for the first year only. And that's using CoFeb3. We got free private registration with a domain purchase or transfer. So if you've got something you want to transfer that you want to keep private, it's $9.99 value free through the end of March. That promo code's March4. So all of them, again, are over on this page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And this is going to save you a ton of cash when you're getting ready to pick up domains, SSL certificates, web hosting accounts. Plus, every time you use the product, you really help the show. It's like a major donation to the show each time. And we definitely appreciate all of you that use the renewal codes and everything else. All right, what else is going on? There is a discussion that happened here at my house tonight at the dinner table that I found pretty remarkable. My wife has been working part-time. She wants to get out of the house and, you know, basically the kids are getting the age where she can do some. So she's been doing some volunteer work at the school, plus doing some work at the school. And so we had just obviously went through the full tax season and getting the corporate taxes done and the personal taxes done. And, you know, me and my typical self grumbling about the taxes, as all of us do. And I was grumbling about it at dinner. My daughter's like, well, how much do you pay in taxes anyway, Dad? And she says, it's not that bad. And of course, she's a 15-year-old that knows everything, right? And I just, that brought up a good conversation. And, you know, I guess I don't ever remember my dad showing me his tax return. But I guess, you know, in this day and age, trying to teach your kids about more stuff, and it really, when it's in black and white and they see a parent signature on a piece of paper, I said, just sit down with me for a minute and let me walk you through this. And I walked them through, you know, the deduction I get from my house interest payment, and, you know, all the stuff, the deductions and 401k and, you know, all that stuff, and showed her the bottom line on how much I end up paying Uncle Sam this year and also the state of Hawaii. And she just about, of course, the dollar she sees there is, you know, she's used to getting, you know, a $20 from Dad from time to time. And she sees this huge number for a tax bill, and she was just astounded. And I'm like, hey, this is the real world. And then I was explaining to her what would happen when she started working in the whole nine yards. But I think from that single conversation with a 15 and a 14-year-old, with the 8-year-old kind of like listening in the background and really not paying attention too much. They got a better realization about what text time and dad's frustration was all about. And it was pretty eye-opening for them. They really were. And my daughter's like, geez, I don't want to have to pay all those taxes. And oh my gosh, that's not fair. And, you know, she just couldn't believe, you know, when you look at everything is taken out, workman's comp, state tax, everything that we all pay. And and then I was explaining to her the business part too, where, you know, a normal, if you're working for someone else, they pay half your Social Security and the employee pays half. I said, well, when you're working for yourself and you have your own business, you pay both parts. And I was showing her the 16.5% or 16.7% that I was paying on that. And so anyway, the whole long story, she just was like, so it was good. Good thing, you know, if you have kids and you're thinking, I tell them, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell your friends, you know, don't be talking about how much dad makes. And, you know, that's kind of one of those unwritten rules. You don't go talking about how much someone makes. And, made them realize, you know, I showed them which bracket I was in, brought up the 1040 and did all that. So they were all like, you know, oh my God. And I'm, you know, the whole time I'm just gritting my teeth because each and every one of us has to sign that 1040 to send off to Uncle Sam. We all have the same feelings at this time of year. Anyway, enough on that. Let me continue here. Hey, I've been playing with the new iPad, and so far, I'll be honest with you, it took me about a day of looking at the iPad 2 and the iPad 3 and comparing. But what really rocked my socks off was playing this show's video right on my webpage and comparing it at oranges and apples in real time. What a difference. And it is a major difference in quality. And I was all worried I was gonna have to take this show big, you know, in size big to make it so you could watch it. But I took and I expanded it out so that the show covered the entire width of the iPad in both directions. No pixelization. I mean, it looked better than any time I've ever played the show back on any device ever. And I've been thinking to myself, my God, if this could look this good on my flat screen TV, I mean, it truly looked television quality. And what it does is made me realize that if all devices were of such quality on the screen, we could actually save money on bandwidth by decreasing the encoding. I'm serious. For those of you that have an iPad 3 and those of you that had an iPad 1 or iPad 2, look at Geek News Central's video across two different devices if you have two, and then email me your thoughts. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this as well, and I'd appreciate it if you do. I think you're going to be shocked, and love to hear your feedback, of course. All right, what else is going on? Still on my scheduling to go to Indianapolis. Obviously, I'm going to try to bop up and see my mom for a few days, so I may be having a Michigan meetup, and I'll get you more details on that. But if we do have a Michigan meetup, it will be probably on the 7th of April. Sadly, my sister's coming out to Michigan on the 9th, so I'm going to miss her because I need to come back to Honolulu no later than Sunday, the 8th of April, but we'll be out in Indy 2, 3, 4, 5, probably up in Michigan 6, 7, and then I'll fly back out of Indianapolis, and that's quite a drive to fly out of there, but just ticket pricing, it makes more sense, but be bouncing out of there on the 8th, so probably do a Michigan meetup on the 7th if everything works out, so I'll keep you guys advised, those of you that are fans up in the Michigan area, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, you guys will be within striking distance. Then right after that, come back and regroup and get ready to go to Las Vegas for NAB, made an official announcement on the website that will be covering that show. Airplane is booked. I forgot I had a voucher, so I actually saved $350 on my flight, booked my hotel room in downtown Las Vegas as well, and actually not the new section, but the old section, saved eight, and this is the difference. Stay in the Monte Carlo for the time I'm there, $1,200. Stay downtown, $246 for the same period. So $700 and some, almost $1,000 savings just in hotels. I was pretty pleased with, I think I found my new place to stay in Vegas from a savings standpoint, but don't tell anybody else. We'll keep that secret between me and 125,000 of us that are watching this show. But anyway, that's kind of where we're at. But okay, so let's move on here, get into the regular content. I got a stack of stuff for you tonight, but looking forward to bringing, and we are looking for, I'm looking for one sponsor, one underwriter, and to make you one heck of a deal for the content I'm creating there. So if you'd like to get some unique sponsorship opportunity, drop me an email here at geeknews@gmail.com. All right, speaking of sponsors, you know, this show is, in order to keep the lights on, we've got to keep the sponsors happy. And I hope that you guys will definitely try a product that I absolutely love and is part of my war chest of tools that I use in doing business. I have, I think, on a hand, about five things I use regularly, at least on a daily basis almost, and GoToMeeting is one of those. And I've learned, especially since GoToMeeting has added the HD Faces feature, that being able to attach a face to a name is critical. It enhances our relationships with people, and it really enhances the way we do business. And, you know, prior to HD Faces, meeting all of your clients and colleagues in person was nearly impossible. And especially living in Hawaii, I do a lot of phone work. Matter of fact, I think I was on the phone about 3.5 hours today, grand total, in a GoToMeeting session for about an hour as well. So doing meetings face-to-face is critical when you can do it, and that's why I recommend a GoToMeeting with HD Faces. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group or one-on-one session. You can see attendees eye-to-eye while collaborating on documents or even doing presentations. I find the one-to-one things work the best, and I use it here for our meetings. I use it here for our raw voice stuff, and you guys know that how much I love this program. The HD video is so clear, you're going to be astounded. And you know, if you're watching this show, it's almost better than what you're seeing. So start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. As a listener or viewer of this show, you can try it for 30 days for free. Don't wait. Visit the website at GoToMeeting.com for this special offer. Just go over to GoToMeeting.com, click on the orange Try It Free button. You're going to see the promo code entry area on the bottom of the page. Enter that promo code podcast, and then you'll get a seller we get the credit for. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. Okay, let's go ahead here and bounce back. We'll get into the record content I've got tonight for you, looking through my list. Hey, wasn't that an awesome show, 750? I had some very happy, as a matter of fact, the final email came in this morning for one of the folks that finally realized that they won. I sent him an email, said, you need to listen to the show. And when you do, you know, drop me an email back. And I actually had one person call. I wasn't able to pick up when they called, and they were screaming into my telephone. But it was pretty awesome, giving away about $3,000 worth of prizes, 2 iPads, 2 Mac Minis, 3 Rokus, 3 Boxies, no, 2 Boxies, yeah, 3 Boxies. It was, you know, all the stuff that we gave, it was fantastic. And hopefully we can do that again, something like that for show 800. I don't know. We'll see. See if we get another benefactor to come in and help us out. Okay. Let me go ahead and close this little box here. Yes, I want to save you. And I don't need you, Mr. Intro Box. So I'll close that. And we'll load Chrome up. And fighting a little bit of cottonmouth tonight, so I'm hitting my glass of water here. Hopefully, it lasts me the full hour. And all right, let me go ahead and start off. Found some interest. Oh, I got that covered. We talked about that already. On the Saturday Morning Tech Show we did with Paul Thurrott and Rob Greenlee, we kind of skipped around on some stuff. But there's some, for those of you that are media creators, you're going to want to go watch this show. We covered some cool stuff about media's future, and I think you're gonna like it. And so just wanted to reiterate that. All right, first article up is talking about this new 6-strike plan that's going to be hitting us with our ISPs starting to implement the 6-strike plan on July 15th. And it looks like this is going forward, but the folks over at TechDirt are raising the question, should the ISPs, the NPAA and the RIAA, be investigated for antitrust violations? They feel that there has been this collusion where these companies have planned together to essentially include a plan that will make the internet access more expensive for users and more complicated and working on folks. Now, on top of this, the six strike plan is based on mere accusations, not convictions. And those accusations will come from a company with which we know, or companies with a terrible track record for accuracy. The NPAA and the RIAA have been just absolutely horrendous in going after everyone and anyone. And what's bad about this is if you're accused of copyright infringement, you are going to have to pay to challenge a strike. And if you do challenge it, you're limited to just six defenses. Now, if the work is in the public domain and you put something up by mistake, you have no official defense on their plan. So what they've done here, this collusion among multiple big industries, it assumes everyone's guilty before they're innocent. So you know, here we are, we live in a country where you are supposed to be, if you're accused, you're considered innocent until proven guilty. You normally have to do that in a court of law. You do that in front of a judge. If you allow a judge to make that decision, you have a jury of your peers and they decide your fate, or the judge decides your fate. And usually that's how that works, right? Now, there are some things going on with the Patriot Act and them being able to lock you up forever if you say something against Uncle Sam or you do something that they consider to be against the United States. And there's all kinds of things going on there, which are, you know, probably subject within itself. But here we have a service that you are paying for that up to this point, you have been protected. The ISPs have been protected through some DMCA rulings where they basically, you know, Safe Harbors Act. They weren't going to look at what you were streaming. They weren't going to look at what you were doing. But with this new six strike response, the ISPs are somewhat responsible for monitoring what we do on the internet. Now, what happens when I put Geek News Central up and make it available as a BitTorrent, which we used to do in the early days, and some of you are using a BitTorrent client to download the show. When I put the show up like that and you all of a sudden get a notice from the NPAA because you've been sharing media files, even though they've been my show's media files, and those shows are fairly distributed underneath the Creative Commons license that I have the show. Matter of fact, you can put it up, move it around, share it with different people, as long as you don't cut it up, chop it up, and take me out of context. You know, there's basically, you can do a lot with this content. So I would never try to stop someone from distributing my show unless they were making money on top of it without giving me a cut. And what's really bad about this is our current president in the White House was involved in brokering the deal. So it's obvious that the current attorney general will not bother to scrutinize this agreement. And since it would effectively be, you know, challenging the president on this. So we need to really think about what's going to happen here with this six strike plan that is just about ready to be thrust upon us. And some of you are going to say, Todd, I don't do peer-to-peer. I don't do file sharing. Well, you know, here's the deal. This is something that's coming to the good old US of A, and you have an ISP who's agreed to a response plan of copyright infringement at the behest of the RIAA, the NPAA, and with the executive office shoving this down our throats. So if you have an ISP account with AT&T, Cablevision, Comcast, Verizon, Time Warner Cable, and you are going to be underneath this new thing. So I'm under Time Warner Cable. I have a Verizon account as well for what I do with my mobile devices, and I have an AT&T iPhone. So I got three of them right there, right? Now, there's supposed to be educational alerts in your first strikes. But you know what? You only get those strikes once, and then they escalate. After the fifth strike, and by strike we mean accusation again, not conviction, the ISP can resort to mitigation measures, aka legal issues, shutting you down, disconnecting your internet service. So, is it time to get pissed off again? Is it time to get on the phone and call your internet service provider and say, yo, what are you doing? Why are you participating in this? Is it time to call your congressman and say, yo, why are you guys doing this? Are you going to stand for this? Are you going to allow these companies to spy and to basically act in collusion with one another? So I don't know about you, but call your ISP, complain. And if you have a choice and you have a company that is giving you internet service that are not part of one of these coalition folks, then you can, you may have a chance to move your internet service to someone else. But if you want good internet service, you're probably going to be stuck with one of these companies, seeing that they're all in a monopoly as it is, unless you live in Kansas City where Google has been approved to provide video and internet service. Talk about that a little later. But this is big, and I'm hoping someone is going to go after these folks in court. Time will tell if they're going to do this, but we have to do our part. We have to get upset about this as much as we did about SOPA and PIPA and say, hello, what are you doing here? It's death by a thousand cuts, folks. That's what it is. And if they get this approved, this is just like immediately getting slashed 100 times by the sharpest razor. We're all going to be standing here bleeding, wonder what happened. And the MPAA and the RIAA are going to be able to have their will upon your service because your ISP decided to collude with them. All right. Now, there's other people getting upset as well, and it's not just geeks. Scientists are getting very upset. 8,200 researchers have banded together to force science journals to open access. Now, if you've ever had to get access to a science journal, it's all cool if you belong to a college and you're a student. Now, oftentimes, the library systems have access to research papers that you can get access to and that you don't have to pay for. But if you are trying to do any type of research and outside of the educational system, you have to pay for these research papers, largely because companies like Elsevier, and I probably just destroyed their name, which controls a large number of the medical and scientific journals, Elsevier, I think is how you actually pronounce it, they have basically put everything behind a firewall. Now, you can see the little summary, but that's about it. You can't see the 25 pages or the dissertation or whatever it may be. So 8,200 researchers have banded together and basically saying they're boycotting Elsevier and that they are going to go and have their works published somewhere else. Now, Elsevier publishes popular journals like The Cell and The Lancet, and these are very, very respected journals. But, if you want to get access to any of the old stuff, you've got to pay. You can pay big, usually about $40 just to rent the article or a couple hundred bucks if you want to own it forever. And so apparently last year there was over 150 million failed attempts to access an article on one of the popular services called JSTOR. And here's the crux of this thing. Many of these journals, many of these write-ups that have been done by scientists have been funded by agencies such as the National Science Foundation, which you support with your taxpayer dollars, the NIH, which you support with your taxpayer dollars, the Department of Defense, which you support with your taxpayer dollars, Department of Energy, NASA, and so forth. So while taxpayer dollars has fueled this research, scientists publish it, then publishers charge anyone who wants to see the results for yourself, including the authors of the articles. Now, what drove these folks to get upset was that last December, there was a bill called the RWA was submitted to Congress. And people were saying, hey, this is not right. Now, they essentially got the RWA bill shut down. But the boycott was launched on a website called thecostofknowledge.com. And they basically called upon fellow academics to refuse to work with the publisher in any capacity. So far, the research papers in that really are focused here are ones on physics, sociology, physiology, law, management, education, business, health and science, political science, economics, and biology. That covers the big ones, right? And that was what was really focused on the ban. Now, there's what's come from this is there is some initiatives out there called open access. And this is what I think we all have to, if you're talking to academics, you're talking to professors, you're talking to students that are doing their PhDs or their master degrees, when they're getting ready to publish their stuff, and they need to use Public Library of Science, the open directory that's out there, which maintains a list of journals that are switched from paywalls to open access or experimenting with alternative models. So, you know, I don't know if you're in your jobs, you guys have to deal with this and you're paying for stuff. But here's the thing. We need to, if taxpayer dollars is paying for these things, we need to demand, just like everything else these days, open this stuff up. Now, Elsevier has to make money. That's fine. If you want to produce a paper journal, charge for the subscription, and that's where you make your cash. And but don't lock this stuff behind a paywall. Make these research papers available. But it's interesting to see what's going on in the space. And it's been going on for a long time. All right, a little space news here. Russia may sink a satellite. And what they've got is they've got a communication satellite that was stranded last August this is number two, in a useless orbit that will constitute a double failure. And basically, the insurance company's already paid off on this thing, but the Russian Express AM4, built by Astrium, was designed for a geosynchronous orbit, but stranded in a six-hour elliptical orbit at an inclination of 51 degrees by a Proton Bris M. At an inclination of 51 degrees, and it got there by the an upper stage failure. Yeah, said a lot there, right? But what they want to do is it's got plenty of gas. The satellite's working, and there's a push on right now they can put the satellite in a position where it would give the folks down under, and we've got some fans of this show that listen in Antarctica, that it would give the National Science Foundation and the folks working down on Antarctica the ability to have a satellite overhead 16 hours of the day and give them much better coverage than what they have right now. But they're planning on sinking this thing in like a week. So they're working real hard to try to stop the Russians from deorbiting it. And they want to be able to have this thing repositioned so they can get the 14 to 16 hours of daily coverage for the National Scientific Research Bases in Antarctica. So the United States had already done a request to figure out how much it would cost to put the satellite over there. And they knew it was going to cost in the range of $100 to $500. And they're saying that if they just reposition a satellite, they could probably do this for about $20 million and get the access to the to this satellite and give them lots of connectivity. So we'll keep you advised on how this goes. It just makes sense. Put that, you know, drop that sucker down under and keep it there. And let you know, at least it's can work for 10 years. And then they deorbit it at that time. Another thing going on in the space initiative is they're having coding day for NASA in what's called the International Space Apps Challenge from April 21st to 23rd, a 48-hour International Space Apps Challenge will take place in tech hubs and other spaces from San Francisco to San Paolo to Jakarta to Antarctica and aboard the International Space Station. So if you are a coder and you want to get involved with this, they're going to be putting teams together and they're going to be making, working on some predetermined challenges, and sounds like a pretty cool thing to be involved in if you're a coder. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. You'll be able to check it out. Okay. I've talked about remote access a lot in this show. Matter of fact, one of our sponsors in the past has a great remote access program. But there's a company out there that's put together a virtual desktop that is basically sticking their nose out at Microsoft. It's called TuCloud, T-U-C-L-O-U-D. It can be used on a Mac. I believe it also can be worked on iPads and other devices. And it breaks Microsoft's Windows licensing rules in order to provide basically an unbeatable price of free. Now, you guys know that with products that I've advertised in the show, they cost money. And part of it is because it's a legal product. It's licensed. And you can do remote desktop stuff legally. Well, this particular product, like I said, breaks Microsoft Windows licensing rules. And the company's CEO has basically said, sue me if you can, and has flaunted this. Some other companies that are in the space are very upset about this company for not playing fair. And they are threatening to launch their own free services since Microsoft has not come after them. And they're saying there's a little bit of hanky-panky going on here because he accuses Microsoft, the specific individual is going to build his own version. I guess TuCloud is the legal version. Let me look at this here. OnLive is the company that has the illegal version. TuCloud has the legal version. But the TuCloud CEO says he is going to basically make it his own alternative option for free. But he says that he thinks the reason is because they're playing favorites with OnLive, whose CEO is a former Microsoft exec. And he says he's being audited all the time by Microsoft, but yet this guy's getting away with no licensing. And so a little bit of a pissing contest going on here. We'll see what happens. The guy says, if I had $1 billion in the bank, I'd take them to court tomorrow. He says, this is antitrust. So I thought this was interesting. So there's people upset, but time will tell where this goes. And I didn't know you had to have a license, a special license to do remote access into your own desktop. But I guess you do. And that's probably why the programs cost, you know, $20 a month or so because of Microsoft licensing fee. There's an interesting write-up on Ars talking about basically people's acceptance in whether or not global warming's going on. We haven't talked about this topic in a long time. But a few years back, the U.S. public's acceptance of conclusions reached by climate scientists took a dramatic drop. And they're saying it's only now beginning to recover. And saying not a lot has changed about the science during that time, raising questions about what's driving the ups and down in the polls. And studies have found correlations with the weather and a role of political leaders in driving these changes. They're also saying a new study suggests that some of that is misplaced. Instead, its authors have come to a conclusion we've heard before, that it's the economy driving the decisions, and maybe rising gas prices that might be driving it as well. But they're saying that polling may be a effect of this, but it's a pretty interesting read on where public opinion is going on with global warming. And as unemployment has increased, global warming concerns have went down and vice versa. It's kind of weird. And if you think about the dynamics. You know, people have more to, they're more worried about the economy. They're more worried about where their next job's going to come from. So they're not so concerned about the ecosystem, I guess, per se. And maybe that isn't the entire dynamic there, obviously, but it is interesting here on what is happening with the economy and jobs and everything else, and the price of fuel that's driving people's opinions and the weather. And of course, my mom is like freaking out because it's the middle of March in Michigan. They've got 80 degree weather. She says the trees are budding. She says we got to get past a certain stage here because if we have a frost, the entire fruit business is going to be destroyed in the state of Michigan because all the trees are, you know, think it's, you know, it's time to wake up. And so they're having a real warm spring after having a very wet winter with rain, but not a lot of snow. And we've had a dry winter here pretty much in Honolulu. So it's, you know, it's weird, but it is kind of interesting to see where climate change acceptance levels are based on some of those other factors. I found a cool article by Jason Calacanis put up on Google Plus, and I'm only going to reference it here real quick. Those of you that are in the app business, you may want to see what he did as a formula to drive his apps into the top 10 range on iOS. I will say this. I don't have a million people in my social circle, so I don't think all of us could completely duplicate this. It helps when you have about a million people that you can reach in emails and social and everything else. Pretty cool little dynamic here. We may try experiment with some things with this audience at some point, but I'll have a link up in the show notes on how they drove their iOS app up without paying anyone to do it and legally got there. All right, Cafe Press, of course, we have a great set of t-shirts and mouse pads and different types of stuff, cups. You can buy at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And but Cafe Press is going to acquire t-shirt competitor Logo D for about $8.3 million. So those of you that have used Cafe Press in the past, they made an acquisition here, kind of a little cool antidote. Facebook is obviously getting ready to do their public offering, and they think that there's going to be, they're going to try to raise about $5 billion in their initial public offering. Now, normally when you do an IPO, the banks get about 5.5% of the actual funding to do the offering. Well, this time, Facebook is offering to pay the underwriters only 1.1%. So this is amazing. This is one of the lowest numbers that's ever been seen. So a 1.1% fee that's going to be paying its banks is five times under the normal paying rate. But when you're talking about a $5 billion funding, that's pretty remarkable. Facebook said has said in a regulatory filing earlier this month that it received an $8 billion package of financing, including a $5 billion 5-year revolving line of credit, a $3 billion 364-day bridge loan, and the company also named 25 new underwriters. I mean, they're rolling some big cash dollars, and just got to keep the old Facebook thing going. Speaking of Facebook, for those of you who follow me on Facebook, when I left Japan after my wife's father died, I had left my camera there, and with family permission, I had taken a huge number of pictures, probably well over 500 pictures of the proceedings. And who's that? Hey, Jake, are you on chat, man? You're going to have to email me, dude. I just got a text in the chat that my nephew, is that right? No, that's my cousin. Gosh, my cousin is going to be coming out to Hawaii. All right. Email me, dude. geeknews@gmail.com. Give me the details. That's cool. Very, very cool. I don't know if he's still in the chat or not. Oh, man. Too bad I missed that earlier. But anyway, all right, let me go back to what I was saying about Facebook. what's going on is that I took these pictures, left my camera there for my wife to use until the funeral was completely over and bring it back. Well, she accidentally left it there. They shipped the camera back. And so I just got my hands on it. I uploaded all the pictures to my computer and I went through and I picked about 100 pictures and I uploaded those to my Facebook profile. And what it has in it is really, if none of you have ever, you know, here in the United States, when someone dies, you have the visitation in a funeral home. You've got the regular funeral. You've got the burial at the cemetery. And really, it's a, you know, it's a 3-4 day, maybe 5 day process. In Japan, it's a completely different deal. And I've got a whole bunch of pictures, nothing too weird, but just basically walks you through the whole process, essentially from the time I'm just going to leave it for you guys. You go over to my Facebook page. If you're not following me on Facebook, just go Todd Cochran. It's right in my timeline, and you'll be able to see all these images. Pretty cool. We're getting a lot of comments on them. And basically just shows you how a different culture does a funeral. If that's interesting at all, it's definitely in my Facebook page. So very, very cool. That's cool. My cousin's coming to Hawaii. My cousin is, okay, so here's a little trivia, not trivia, but just a little info. In my family, there are two boys that are, I was the oldest grandchild, and then between then and Jake, there was other boys, but there was no boys with the last name Cochran. So there was only two boys that ended up with last names of Cochran in the family. And I think there was 27 grandchildren, and Jake was born the same, day as my daughter, Natalie. Now my daughter, Natalie's 20. So there's 28 some years separating me and Jake. So the two boys that were able to carry on the Cochran family name have 28 years between them. And he's the one that's coming out to, looks like he's coming out to Honolulu. So that's funny. But he's legal. He can drink now. So I can take him out and we can have a beer. It's been legal for a while. Probably drinking beer for a lot longer than that. if I know typical Cochran's. But his dad was the youngest boy in the family. Or there was only two boys. The youngest. His name's Gary. Anyway. You guys don't care. I'm sorry. All right. Investigation into malfunctioning GPS systems at Newark Liberty International report that the culprit is cheap jammers that are easy to buy online. And apparently what's going on is that their GPS system keeps dropping in and out. And it turns out the truckers are to blame. They are cruising down the New Jersey Turnpike and they're using GPS jammers so that their bosses can't tell their whereabouts. You know that all these trucks on the highway now all have tracking systems in them. And, the truckers don't want to let their bosses know they're speeding, don't want to let them know that they're driving longer hours than they should. So they just use the jammers to really kind of throw the scent off. And, I don't know. It's interesting the truckers are doing that, but, the DOE can log in and look at those logs and all kinds of stuff. So, not DOE, the DOT. They're buying those jammers and running them in their trucks. So that's shutting down Newark Liberty International. The GPS signal is way down in the weeds from a signal strength standpoint. So these guys are coming on running multi-band, they're jamming the signal and it's just wiping them out. So, this is becoming a bigger concern. So I would imagine there's going to be the GPS tracking police on the New Jersey Pike, or they're going to put warning signs up that I'm sure the truckers are not going to pay attention to. So maybe Trucker Tom will give us the insight. You know, Trucker Tom, he's a technology user, so maybe he can tell us the scuttlebutt, the rumor here on how and why truckers are using this. So Trucker Tom, maybe he can give us some feedback. All right, South by Southwest. I just got to show you this picture. For those of you that are watching, you could check it out. But those of you that are listening, what is it? It's a guy in a FedEx jacket. And he's walking around and he's got a whole bunch of people jacked into him getting power. And it turns out that the FedEx guy was sponsored by Mophie. And we've talked about Mophie juice pack here quite a bit. Matter of fact, I see a lot more Mophies being around. And but this guy's a walking Mophie juice pack, and he's giving people a charge up during South by Southwest. I thought it was pretty funny. All right, over on Torrent Freak, can you be sued for simply watching an illegal video stream? You know, pay-per-view events are pretty popular, and pretty popular not to pay for. They don't want to pay that $45 for that, you know, sometimes 1 hour or 2 minute fight or whatever it is. We all know that the UFC, you know, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, is, you know, is a big event, and people are very excited about this. And the UFC has basically announced this week that they have the potential to touch everyone who consumes video online. In other words, touch them in a legal way. So the UFC has really had a huge track record of shutting Ustream streams down, going after bars, going after people in their homes that are having events. You name it. They've done all kinds of stuff. But now what they're doing is every time they take down a site, they're capturing the log files, and they're actually going to be going after the folks that were using those illegal, going after those illegal streaming sites, using the IP addresses to track people back. And they're going to be going after people the same way that the MPAA has. And we're not going to know how they're going to be able to take action on this. This is, I think, more of a, it's going to be, it'll be constitutional issues here, but we'll see. And scaring people to find out if people are redistributing, to find out what people are doing. But it's yet to be seen if people can be sued for simply watching an illegal video stream. But the UFC being as aggressive as they have been, they may try. All right, the Pirate Bay. One of the Pirate Bay folks, one of the financiers, one of the guys that really wasn't involved in the active day-to-day running of it, is reported that he's going to be wearing an ankle bracelet. He's going to serve his sentence out in the community. He does have to pay his point of the $6.7 million that is part of the settlement. And he's going to have to... he's got restricted movement. It's just anything like anything else when you're under house arrest. You have certain places you can go and can't go. And he's going to be leaving Switzerland and returning to Sweden to serve his sentence. And he will spend 4 months electronically tagged in an apartment. He'll be only allowed to leave in order to attend a job arranged for him by the authorities. I wonder if that what that's going to be. Is that going to be making license plates or something like that? Anyway, the first Pirate Bay guy is going to officially serve his service, his sentence, excuse me. While at the same time, the Pirate Bay is saying, hey, we're going to take the Pirate Bay servers offshore. We're experimenting how we're going to be able to put them in drones and fly them and use radio communications to set up the data transfers and all that. And then the only way they're going to be able to take down the Pirate Bay is through an airstrike. So I thought, okay, it sounds like a lot of hot air to me. Very expensive. We'll see. But they're saying they can fly the drones off international airspace and run the network. Wow. All right. Google has submitted an amicus brief for Hotfile. Now, it effectively defends Mega Upload as well. So they filed this brief at a federal court in Florida defending the file hosting site Hotfile in its case against the MPAA. The search giant accuses the movie companies of misleading the court and argues that Hotfile is protected under DMCA's Safe Harbor Act. Indirectly, Google is also refuting claims being made by the U.S. government in the criminal case against Mega Upload. So basically, what they're saying here is that Google points out that YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Wikipedia are able to thrive because they are protected by the DMCA. But if the MPAA has its way, these and other services will be in serious trouble, including Google. Without the protections afforded by the safe harbors, those services might have been forced to fundamentally alter their operations or might have never been launched in the first place. Google says MPA has argued that Hotfile has no right to exist. Say Google saying that the MPA has argued that file has no right to exist because it used predominantly for copyright infringement purposes. Google has replied to this by arguing that is irrelevant how many infringements they are. Under the DMCA, it would only be problematic if Hotfile is aware of each and every individual pirated file on its system. He says the case law uniformly rejects efforts to deprive service providers of the safe harbor based on general awareness. And he says Google continues to say that DMCA specifically states that service providers such as Hotfile can't lose their safe harbor protection because they refuse to filter content upon request from the movie companies. It says it guards against any claim that service provider loses safe harbors by failing to adopt specific filtering technology. That's what's in the DMCA. A company doesn't have to adopt specific filtering technology. Google stresses that the burden to report and identify pirated material lies with the copyright holder, not Hotfile, and suggests that the MPA tried to mislead the court to believe otherwise. So this is the crux of it. They're saying the burden of proof is on the MPAA. And I agree. The MPAA should have the burden of proof and should have to have very specific reasons for takedown notice instead of these shotgun approaches that they're doing and trying to reverse engineer the DMCA. So we'll see where this goes. But it is interesting that Google is indirectly protecting or putting amicus briefs in for Mega Upload and Hotfile. All right. Apple. Whew. They're sitting on some serious cash, $100 billion. They say it could grow to $150 billion. But, and probably Steve Jobs, rest his soul, has probably rolled over in his grave today because CEO Tim Cook has basically decided that they are going to be issuing a stock dividend each quarter. They're going to be doing a $10 billion stock buyback in 2013. And this is going to make the investors go hog wild. If you have the stock, stand by. It's going to 600, maybe 700. Institutional investors want stocks that pay dividends because they can own the stock. It's a cash cow. They get money every quarter. And they make money by trading and selling it still, but they still get a dividend if they hold the stock. So we'll see. People are pretty excited about this announcement. And they still say, well, we'll still have $50 billion in cash. Do you think that's enough? I would assume so. All right. I saw something today that I don't know I would have for myself, but it is kind of cool. And what it is, it's a decoration piece that you can put up in your house, and it runs on either gas or as an actual wood, and you burn some wood in it, and actually it's a globe, and when it burns, it looks like the world is on fire. It's called the Third Rock Fire Pit, and it's huge. It's a height of 42 inches with a diameter of 36 inches. And it's not cheap. $1,679 is what it costs. It's a handmade here in the United States. And this thing, you can put this up somewhere and put some wood in it and burn it. And if nothing else, it makes a good thing to cook some marshmallows over or so forth. But pretty unique design. You have to turn it so a certain way so you can see certain countries burn other than others. Anyway, I'll have the link in the show notes for you to check out. Okay. All right. Angry Birds. This has just went too far. You know, you got to love F1 drivers. And they have created a helmet that's going to feature an angry bird. And this is just, it's fantastic. It's a beautiful number 20, whoever that is, it drives F1. It's a beautiful helmet. Once you see this, it's the artistic stuff that went into this was simply outstanding, but it looks totally cool. But you know, you don't want to be doing Angry Birds stuff while you're driving an F1. No, in the F1 racing, it's it would definitely end up being you don't want to fly. You want to stay on the ground. All right, those of you that have been watching YouTube in the relaunch since last December, some of the top YouTube hot dogs are complaining. He says, I've had my ad drops about 60% the day the new YouTube homepage came out. So these guys have lost, some of these guys have lost a lot of money. But overall, for the majority of people, numbers are up. I've never had any decent numbers on YouTube per se anyway. I upload, I don't know why I do. I think every video gets an average of like 100 views, some pathetic number. But the this guy's not happy and he's complaining. He's saying everyone's got to bounce, but I got whacked. With any, I guess you got to up your game, dude. So the mystery guitar man is not happy. So just some, I haven't ever seen any of his videos, but his profile picture looks kind of odd. All right, if you're a Firefox user, Firefox 13, if you want to get the beta, has been released. And if you're a Chrome user, it's going to look a lot like Chrome when you load a certain tab. And let me kind of give you the lowdown here. What's going to happen is the build that's out is it's called the Aurora build for Firefox 13. And when opening a new tab, you're now presented with thumbnails of your most recent and most frequented pages. And it's kind of similar to Chrome. The redesigned homepage provides a central start location where users can access their bookmarks, history, settings, add-ons, downloads, and sync preferences. The new homepage is an early stage feature, so we'll see what happens. But the awesome bar now completes URLs as they type them as well. So anyway, you can check that out if you're running the beta. I guess I didn't have that up on the webpage. I thought I did. So I'll give everyone a quick look here before I flip back. All right. Gmail's changed some flags in your spam software. If you've ever gotten an email and it went into spam and it wasn't supposed to be there, they're now saying why it got dropped into spam. One of the messages, be careful of this message. It might contain a virus or a malicious link. Or you previously marked this sender as a spammer. Or it's similar to messages that were detected by our spam filters. And oftentimes we are the ones that are doing the spam filters. Oh, what happened here? Okay, it loaded. So it's basically, it'll show you why the message was flagged. So if you get in your spam section in Gmail, that'll give you a little clue and why the message was dropped there. All right, some articles from Geek News Central, Walmart and movies in the cloud. And boy, I tell you, I think Walmart's blew it here. You know, I was a big fan of Vudu, but this past week, Walmart announced a digital-to-disc service using Vudu. The way it works is a consumer would bring down his or her DVDs or Blu-ray disc to their local Walmart. Walmart would then create a digital copy of that disc on Vudu. Obviously, Vudu is a content delivery network, which is available through over 300 devices, including PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. So basically, what you do is you're having Walmart essentially catalog your DVDs. And I don't know if they keep your DVDs or if you get them back. Does that mean you can go in there with your friend's DVDs and get them cataloged? But essentially, you can go into Walmart and they make sure you've got, and there's not all DVDs that can be put into the Vudu catalog. But such as Disney, the catalog can't be put in there. But a number of your videos, if you still buy them, can be essentially verified that you own them. And then they'll put them into your catalog and you can watch for free on your Vudu box. Kind of a weird mashup here. On Chrome 7, on the Chrome Show number 7, we talked about a variety of different topics. Hope you definitely check that out at chromeshow.com. And one of our longtime lady writers at Geek News Central, KL Tech, she wrote an article up today on Geek News Central about missing her iPhone. And I could do a little poll here. And this one got quite a few tweets. A lot of folks refollowed this. She says, after having her Android for a couple of months, she misses her iPhone. And she says, maybe it's just because I got my new iPad. She says, I have a Motorola Atrix 2. It isn't that the Android phone is a bad phone. It's just unpolished. maybe if I had a different phone or carrier, I would have a different viewpoint. So she's not happy with her Android, and she feels she'll probably be going back to an iPhone. Any of you that are Android users got the same feeling? Are you guys in the same boat? Are you wanting to come back to Apple, or are you actually an Apple user that converted from Android and you want to go back to Android? Love to hear your thoughts on that. Geeknews@gmail.com is a great way to reach us here at the show. All right, the Missouri Public Service Commission has approved a request by Google subsidiary to provide video service in Kansas City. So that's good news from the folks at Google. Another article here, Seagate has released a update to the GoFlex satellite firmware. I've never got a chance to play with one of these. Although I did get an email today from a competitor of theirs, and I got to see if I can get a blog post up tonight. You know, something they're announcing tomorrow. But they've made an update to this firmware, improving battery life of the Wi-Fi passer. This is where you can actually connect a device to your iPad and back stuff up to it wirelessly. So it's pretty awesome. All right, last couple articles here tonight. It's apparent that talking about H.264 in Firefox is getting much deeper. They're saying now it looks very strong that they are going to change a policy where they are going to support H.264 on all versions of Firefox. Now, quite frankly, I applaud it. I understand the reluctance because of licensing and patent issues, but they have to keep the browser relevant. And the only way they do that, and it's obviously WebM has not taken off, so that's not going to win the hearts and minds of web users. So in order to keep Firefox, you know, basically equal level field, they're going to have to pay that licensing fee, and hopefully their relationship with some of the stakeholders will allow them to save some money. Microsoft is set to finish Windows 8 in the summer with an October debut. So those of you who have been thinking about upgrading your computer, you know, it's been a few years since you've had a good operating system to update to. Windows 8 was looking like a major rollout. And so obviously personal computers and tablets are going on sale around October. So maybe a Christmas present or an early Christmas present for you with a new Windows 8 machine. And also Seagate has announced that they've hit a 1 terabyte per square inch on their hard drives. So that's pretty awesome that they're using a technology called heat-assisted magnetic recording, HAMR, to basically successor to PMR, which has been used for a while. But they are moving forward on more storage on our hard drives to keep Murphy's Law ahead of things. All right. I know a few of our audience members are in Norway and in New Zealand and Hong Kong. But if you want to get traffic conditions now, you can do so. Google Maps is actually updating and giving you Google traffic reports in those areas. All you got to do is select the little traffic icon when you load up the Maps page. It'll tell you where traffic is bad. You can do this with your mobile device. So you can look at alternate routes around Hong Kong or different places in Norway or New Zealand. Where is this in the United States? Don't they have this here? Do they have this here yet? I would hope so. But traffic conditions in those areas is available now on Google Maps. All right, let me go ahead and look at the email here real quick and see if I've got any listener comments that have come in since the last show. Let me go ahead and load that. And I'm excited about my cousin coming out to Hawaii. I really am. I wonder, that's half my family doesn't like to get on airplanes. So I'm just, quite frankly, I'm shocked. So let's see here. The last show was on the 18th. Oh, yeah, we've had a few. Email coming. Hey, Todd. Oh, this is from a old Navy buddy of mine. So he says, hey, Todd, brother, you look good, mate. Look forward to hooking up with you sometime. Would like to hear it all unfolded for you. If you're in a Dallas-Fort Worth, let's hook up for dinner if you're up to it. Cheers, Steve. Steve, aloha, man. How you doing? And, yeah, let's... I get into your neck of the woods on a regular basis. Maybe my next trip to Texas, I'll schedule to come into Dallas versus coming into to Austin, and we can hook up and go to dinner and catch up. That's a name from the past. So thanks for being part of the show here, and Steve, looking forward to chatting with you and giving you the 411 on how it all went down. Got an email here from Tim. He says, hey, Todd, check this out, over an article on Fox News. Exclusive gadgets in 2025, what we're going to have in 2025. So I have that link up in the show notes. And Tim also sent me an email about a young boy in a wheelchair. They got TSA screening. So Tim was basically saying, hey, we have to still have to be careful what's in these devices. And in other words, what's in the wheelchair. And I understand there has to be a certain amount of screening. But you know, you got those little pads they can rub on the wheelchair to detect explosives. Should they be able to do that, Tim, without having to go to extremes in inspecting people? But you know, when I was wearing my, you know, my when I broke my back and I had to wear that clamshell, they took me in and strip searched me. Well, made me take my clamshell off and stand up while they wanted me. They really didn't strip search me, but as much hassle as I've been giving them going through those puff devices or those scanning devices, I'm sure they'd like to strip search me at some point. If they do, you guys will all be the first ones to hear. All right, that's it. We're done here today. Hey, everyone, geeknews@gmail.com. Twitter is @geeknews. Of course, you can, the show hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. And look forward to being back with you here on Thursday. And then, of course, we'll have a Saturday morning tech. But again, looking forward to potentially having a Michigan meetup on April 8th. And if we've got anybody in the Indianapolis area that wants two or three people want to get together, probably do one there as well. Just drop me an email here, geeknews@gmail.com. Lots of travel in the next, April's going to be busy. I was looking at the calendar. I'm like, honey, I'm only going to be home these days and these days. She goes, why are you even coming home? I'm like, frequent flyer miles. So I'm already up to 33,000 frequent flyer miles this year already. Goal is to get to 100,000. Not if I have to, but if I can, I do, because it definitely adds some perks to flying. I flew all the family all the way back to Japan last year on frequent flyer miles, so it was pretty awesome. Flew in business, too, so that was quite an accomplishment, and still have 465,000 miles in my frequent flyer account. So all this travel does pay off a little bit from the family. All right, that's it. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time, and check us out at geeknewscentral.com. And, of course, thanks to sponsors GoDaddy and Citrix GoToMeeting. Support them so you can help support the show. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.